Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. Sorry for the delay. I have to admit, for the first time ever, I got here, opened up the YouTube TV app, and tried to find Fox Sports 1 just to see what the hell that might be going on over there. Normally, it's on ESPN. Normally, it's whatever the last person was watching. It's generally ESPN. I was just trying to see. Go find Fox Sports and see what the hell they're talking about over there. I don't even know what shows air at what time. Right now, they have the facility on, which features someone very prominent in a recent lawsuit that a Fox Sports employee filed. The man who loves to tweet stopped tweeting once that news broke. He is on television. I'm looking at him right now. I imagine they have not addressed it on air because no one ever does. But yeah, that was the delay. But we move on as I watch this show for the first time ever. He does have those big goofy glasses on for whatever reason. All right. So we talked about this last week, trying to figure out if the Texans would play anyone and why they would do it. And we pretty much thought if they would do it, it'd be to get the vibes back. And the Texans admitted as much, at least CJ Stroud did. We'll play that sound here in a little bit. Playing those guys for that one series was about the vibes and also reaching some incentives. Some plateaus, some landmarks. Joe Mixon got his 1,000 yards. Nico Collins got his 1,000 yards. And they went out and scored a touchdown in their opening drive against the Titans to get that bad taste out of their mouths from the Baltimore game. Hell, you can go back to the Kansas City game, particularly after Tank caught that touchdown. They weren't exactly moving the football then either. So they went out there to change the vibes. Does it mean that much when you have an actual good team that you have to play? I don't think so. I don't think the vibes changing, feeling better means that much against a team who likely wasn't game planning against you at all. I don't know if the Titans went the Chiefs route where they decided, we don't care how many bubble screens you throw, we're not going to adapt what the Broncos make of the playoffs. The Chiefs clearly, beyond resting their starters, decided we're not going to show anything. We're not going to cover the middle of the field. If Bo Nix wants to go 17-17, however many consecutive completions he had to start the game, we're going to allow that. I don't know if the Titans went that far, but you know you don't care when you're shuffling in Mason Rudolph and Will Levis series by series. So, but the Texans do get a win overall. Davis Mills narrowly avoids an awful injury. It looked awful. The neck of his after that face plant at the goal line, that was the most really significant thing you could think of as far as near injuries. They got all of their most important guys out of that game pretty quickly. But they go down and score a touchdown. Cool, I guess. Nico gets his numbers. Joe Mixon gets his numbers. But we will see against an actual good football team what the bad taste b- being removed from their mouths mean. In fact, CJ talked about it after the game. He was on the field right afterwards and discuss why they were actually out there for that one series.
CJ, Coach Ryan's talked a lot about how important this week was to kind of get your mojo back heading into the playoffs. How big was today with the guys, with the way all of you performed?
Yeah, it was huge. You know, we needed to come out and, you know, get that bad taste out of our mouth. And, you know, I thought we came out strong, you know, running and passing. Had some guys who needed to get to certain yards, and they got that. So, you know, it's a blessing and honor, you know, to be out here playing this great sport.
CJ Stroud after the game. Calm, collected on that series, did what they had to do, and got out of there, which was the perfect way for his season, his regular season end. Didn't get hit, was able to lead a touchdown drive. I will still say, I don't think it matters. It's good for them, for their mentals, as the kids would say. But other than that, I don't care. And they treated that game, and I think all of us treated that game. As soon as CJ got out of that game healthy, it was like, oh, okay, what are we doing here? It's almost worse than a preseason game, I would say the environment was, because at least in a game, even if it's the fourth game of the preseason, the fans can get excited about hopefully seeing one of the young players who has a chance to make the roster. But no one in that building cared very much. At least if you paid for a ticket. Very empty. And that was kind of how it looked across the NFL in games like that. A lot of people who showed up because they had nothing better to do. But if you decided you had something better to do on a Sunday afternoon, you weren't going to that game.
It looked like one of the like weeknight bowl games that are in like Birmingham.
Yeah, very much so.
Or
Nashville.
The Music City Bowl.
Yeah.
But that one generally has
an SEC team, so people will show up. But to your point, like if it's Sun Belt versus Conference USA.
The Frisco Bowl.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And that's an awful stadium from people who talk about it. It's not a cool place to watch a game. It's kind of an erector set stadium. It's one of the reasons they want a new one, I think.
Oh, Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville. So the Texans on the opening drive, great. But the rest of it was like, can we get out of here? Countdown.
Sim to end.
Can I hit a button to end this thing? I caught myself at times. You know, I flipped over to the Commanders game against the Cowboys just to have a different game in front of me. And then I flipped back. I was like, you know, I just went like 20 minutes not watching the Texans. And I realized, oh, it doesn't matter. So what? What is there to break down about that game? Sean, you talked about watching Red Zone, because there was at least something compelling going on. The Falcons and the Bucs are battling for the last playoff spot. And the Bucs do win that one. They beat the Saints, who gave them a game. And then, in fact, it wouldn't have mattered because the Falcons, and maybe due to the fact that they knew the Bucs won, they lost their game to the Panthers. So that was the most compelling thing of the morning.
I'll be honest. The most compelling thing of the morning was the Patriots.
Yeah, winning that game when it negated the chance at the top pick.
Yes. I'll be honest. When I made the executive decision to go, ugh, Davis Mills, I'm out.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. The biggest part was that I saw on social media that like Joe Milton had already led a touchdown drive and they're already up 7-0 on Buffalo. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Drake May played a snap and got sacked and he was done for. I don't know why. I didn't look into it, why they decided to run him out there.
Because I was going to say, is that like a starts thing? But
he didn't start the year. So it's not like he played 17 games. So what was it about? Why did?
No, but it is funny that he got sacked the first play.
Yeah,
Because that's the thing with CJ Stroud. We're like, don't play him. You can't guarantee his safety when he's out there. And he ended up not getting hit. But that just happened to Drake May. Wow.
But the Patriots lose out on the top pick. Now, they weren't in line to get a quarterback in what many people consider a bad quarterback draft, but you wanted to control the draft. Maybe you could convince someone. Maybe someone fell in love with the quarterback and you would be able to trade down and get a haul. I don't think this was the draft for it, but that was the dream of the Patriot fans, to secure the pick with another loss and then start a bidding war for someone to, I guess, get Shador or Cam Ward. And I don't think anyone's trading up and giving up a ransom for Hunter. So I'm not sure how they thought that was going to go, but they don't even have the opportunity.
Yeah, at the very least, it's like we could just stay here and pick Travis Hunter.
Yeah, if that's what you want to do.
Now it's not, you know, maybe Cleveland gets him.
Yeah, they don't have the opportunity. And I don't know if Jerod Mayo went against what he was supposed to do. I mean, playing Joe Milton felt like enough, even with Mitch Trubisky on the other side. But it was not enough. Joe Milton decided, you know what I'm going to do?
Joe Milton will sling it.
I'm going to ball out. I'm going to
ball
out.
Play on the sideline?
Yeah. And even there was one that got called back where he scrambled around a couple of times and extended plays and threw for touchdowns. There's one gets called back.
The one that I saw a clip of where the announcer goes, booty wide open.
Yeah, that was something that a lot of people had fun with.
Kayshon Booty.
Yeah, the former LSU wide receiver and also the
guy
who
wide open.
Got caught up in a gambling scandal when he used his own name.
Yeah,
that too.
That's not good.
No, that wasn't great. So the Patriots, you're right. That's probably the biggest thing because a lot of Boston people are upset. Now, they may have been thrilled immediately afterwards when Jerod Mayo gets fired. Maybe that opens up Mike Vrabel going to New England. And the pushback is, wait a minute. Bill Belichick was terrible in his final year. What the hell did you actually expect to happen in Jerod Mayo's first year? You guys didn't actually want to win. But I think if you dig deep into not wins and losses, people had a lot of problems with that operation. And maybe it's more of a chance where we've got a great candidate available or a number of them that we want to get in on. If we don't think he's the guy, let's just make a decision because we think there's a much better option. And maybe Vrabel is that option. We will see. That is going on right now. People are getting fired.
Yeah.
It happened in this division one time. People thought it might happen a couple other places as far as maybe a GM or head coach. But the Colts did not fire anyone. So it'll be Ballard and Steichen back. But Peterson is out, but Balky stays. But you were going to get to something, I think.
Oh, I was going to say that the New England thing is so much like the Lovie Smith situation, where it's year one of a coach. What do you think you could say? What'd you expect? How many games did you think to win? But then if you watch the season, you're like, this guy obviously doesn't have it. this coach just isn't
sure.
And I get it. Lovie had already coached for a decade, had been a head coach for a decade.
Yeah, there was nothing.
Jerod Mayo's, it's.
There's
first
no room
year.
For growth with Lovie Smith.
And then you have the number one pick going into the last week of the season. You win a game, and then you're fired 30 minutes after the game. startingly fast after the game. That's the Lovie Smith, Jerod Mayo comp. And it's to fire him because there's a no doubt about it option with D'Amico Ryans or Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
It's it's very simple.
Except you have even more belief in Vrabel going in because you've seen him be successful
and you already
as a head coach.
And you already have Drake May.
Well, I'm not.
Texans were trying to get a quarterback.
I have my thoughts about the viability of Drake May being a great quarterback, but that's maybe just my bias. I did watch him a lot in college, and what he did in year one didn't make me move off that. He's fine. I will say this. If Drake May is your guy, and I'm sure the Patriots situation was poor, would you have wanted better for him than to have been in position to have another number one overall pick? If not for, playing the other guy? If Drake May is as good as you think, if you are a Patriots fan or Boston media, and there's some honks out there who certainly believe he's going to be really good, shouldn't he have been able to lift all the boats and win a couple games more than be in prime position to be the worst team in football for a second consecutive year? Now, Peyton Manning wasn't great in his rookie year. The Colts overall weren't great. But I don't think they had the number one overall pick locked up until the final week. I have to go back and think. So that'd be my hesitation. He wasn't good enough to raise you to a level where you weren't in the best spot until Joe Milton ruined it for you.
Didn't play the whole season.
It's true.
Even though Brissett at least won the first game of the season against the Bengals. No one wants to see the Bengals in the playoffs.
That's what they told us. And,
yeah.
And look, hey, no one will.
Come and about, I don't know, start of the fourth quarter against the Steelers, I was like, are we sure no one wants to play this team in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's the thing they're pushing. But we saw you against a very flawed Steelers team.
A Steelers team that coming into this weekend – we thought the Texans had a pretty good chance at playing the Steelers team, and we thought that's basically the only playoff team that the Texans have a chance at beating. and or Chargers, they have a chance. But that's the only team I would expect the Texans to beat. And again, this Bengals team that no one wanted to play came down to the wire against them. I don't know. I think the playoff committee got it right this year. I think all the teams that deserve to be in. I don't think we're gonna say like. I don't think the Bengals are gonna be Alabama, where we're like, can you believe that they let in the Broncos instead of these guys?
No, I don't.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're fine where we stand. Now the Bengals may have been a smaller underdog against the Bills. Don't think they're going in there and winning. Although in the recent past, the Bengals have gone into Buffalo and won a playoff game. But different teams, different years. Just to close out the Drake May point, in his 12 starts, 2-10. Actually, you know what? They may give him credit for. He probably's going to get credit for the Buffalo win yesterday.
Yeah,
because he did start, but context would say he was 2-9 in his full games playing as a starter.
No, he wouldn't 1-10 then.
No.
Oh, you're.
I had to redo what I was looking at. He played 13 games total, coming in as a backup in one of them.
I got you.
But as far as starts, he started 12 games, and no, you're right. You're right. He would have one.
You just take out the win.
He would have one. Yeah, you're right. The math is he would have one win. So I'm just saying, if he's as good as you think, perhaps the quarterback, your franchise quarterback, would have won more than one game as a starter.
I just meant it as they already have a quarterback.
I know, but not as good as you think per se. But it's the royal you, I guess. Everyone who thinks he's pretty good, he won one game as a starting quarterback this year. I don't care how bad the situation is. Perhaps one more than one, but we'll see how Drake May's career goes. We got more to get to. As I mentioned, firings in Jacksonville, no firings in Indy. A lot of coach news to get to as we continue to talk about the NFL. Also, the Rockets, they split the weekend, lose to the Celtics, beat the Lakers. Amen Thompson back. Jabari Smith out for a significant amount. And we'll hear from Ime Udoka on Tari Eason, a guy who is day-to-day but continues to miss games. So Rockets get a win. Jalen Green plays well. There is a Jalen Green story that has nothing to do with basketball that people are focused on the internet. If you know, you know. But we'll talk about the Rockets and their win last night and the status of a couple of their young players and when they will be back. We'll talk about that when we get back. But first, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. If you got a problem with your plumbing, you know where to go, aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And that freeze is coming. It's actually already here. And when the weather gets cold, it can affect your pipes. Bad pipes lead to bad water, stinky water, dirty water, and that affects everything you do, from cleaning your dishes to, you know, cleaning yourself. All the things you need water for can be affected by bad pipes. And Aqueduct Plumbing Company will take care of you. Just go to the website and check out what they do. One of the services they provide is that repiping. That's a big job, but they'll take care of it for you. They're experienced. They've done over 1,000 of those. They're great, experienced contractors, will take care of you. But maybe it's not as big as a repipe. Maybe it's simply a leak because the weather caused your pipe an issue. They will do that as well, from leak detection to maybe you need a new water heater, whether it be tankless or traditional. They take care of all that. Water filters are there for you too. You can call them at 281-488-6238. Anything you need, any plumbing issue you need to take care of, Aqueduct Plumbing Company is there for you. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So after this show on Friday, the word came down that Jabari Smith broke his hand. The timeline as far as when he'll be back is weird. 4 to 8 weeks. I guess everyone heals differently, but generally it's not 4 weeks in between when it comes to a broken anything. With ligaments, you can see where just depends on the recuperative powers of the individual. But a broken hand should feel like it would heal at a normal rate for anyone. But It's 4 to 8 weeks for Jabari Smith. He'll be out, and that means Amon Thompson, now back from his suspension, is back in the lineup. Played well in his game against the Lakers. Amon is interesting to me, mostly because I'm not sure what he projects to be right now. Like, Kendrick Perkins said no ceiling about Amon Thompson after the game. He tweeted that out. And it's very easy to say when the player in question is like 22 years old. Who knows what he'll be? Or younger. I don't know what he'll be. Yeah, he's young. He's talented. Throw the no ceiling label on him just to see how it goes.
I mean,
does that mean does no
Michael ceiling, Jordan?
Yeah. Does no ceiling mean the best player ever? Or,
I mean, if you say he can't be the best player ever,
then there's a ceiling.
You're
on
putting
him.
A ceiling.
Yeah. So no ceiling for Amon means he might become the best player to ever play basketball. Congratulations.
I hope there's a picture of him staying next to LeBron that we can that we can use 20 yeah. years from now.
Yeah, I mean, they might have been standing next to each other last night.
And then Amon Thompson just runs right past him.
Yeah, well, LeBron is known to walk on the court right now to conserve his energy. The Rockets, in typical Rocket fashion, took a lead, a big one, and then the Lakers claw their way back in, but some offensive rebound, a couple big shots late, they found a way. Jalen Green had a really nice night, and we're to the point where people are tweeting out his numbers in the new year. All right, guys, relax. We've seen this before. But credit to him for having a nice night last night. They played a contender in the Celtics and a team with a name in the Lakers over the weekend, and they fared the way you probably think they would fare. The Celtics kind of ground them down and beat them up, and then the Lakers are more on their level. In fact, at least record-wise, the Rockets are better. And they found a way to hold the Lakers off. Lakers couldn't even get an inbound in. Fred VanVleet stole an inbound that was intended for LeBron. That sealed that game. Lakers were down by three. I think Şengün made one out of two. And the Lakers had a chance to tie. Didn't even get the inbound in. And good defensive play by Fred VanVleet. The Rockets win. But back to no ceiling on Amon Thompson. You watch him play and you understand his physical ability. His ability to not have plays run for him and still be an impactful player. Do they see him as a guard, as a secondary ball handler? Because right now we know the Rockets aren't fully formed. A lot of it has to do with what you might consider their backcourt not being settled, although those guys play a lot of minutes. They play all the games when they're available. But I'm not sure that this starting backcourt is the one we're going to be talking about in the future. So is Amon Thompson going to be slotted in to be a three going forward? He's going to be playing, I guess you would say, small ball four right now without Jabari Smith, and we'll see how he plays there. He played just fine last night. So beyond the hyperbole about what he can be, I just want to know where he will play, and maybe that's not decided for a couple years, because if Fred VanVleet is back, or even if he isn't, are they just going to move him to be maybe not a point guard, but a lead guard alongside Jalen Green next year? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you have possibilities and options.
It is interesting that a guy who at some points in the season were like, yep, point guard of the future. Don't just hold your nose through this Fred VanVleet 1 of 9 shooting game. Because Amon Thompson is going to be the point guard of the future. And then Jabari Smith, the starting power forward, breaks his hand, and it's like, of course, I'm in Thompson.
Yeah, of course, that's where he slides in.
It's like, that is part of it, and it is a good problem to have that when he's out there, it's like, whatever position you want to say he's playing, he's doing well. He is just an absolute athletic force. That's why I was pretty confident he would have a good game against the Lakers, just because the Lakers don't really have, like, an athlete that can move with Amon Thompson. Not many teams do, but the Lakers don't really have a player that can like fake it. That they can stay with Amon Thompson. So yeah, he was just kind of doing whatever he wants on the rebounds, getting balls back in. I don't know if that Jalen Green play was an alley. I saw some people give him credit for a lob. It looked a lot like a shot that Amon Thompson, let's just say, alley-ooped into the into the goal, but I don't know. Let's see what the NBA officially lists that as. But yeah, I think no ceilings. I mean, I've already said why that's funny. Just say no ceilings. It's like, okay, greatest player of all time. No, too much. Oh, so there's a ceiling. But I do think that Amin Thompson, like, very clearly has probably the biggest upside that we still think he can realize of anyone on this team. Some of that's just because it's the middle of year two.
Sure.
And we don't have the you know, scar tissue of, like, the Jalen Green 30-point night. We're all like, cool. Like, yep.
Yeah.
Back-to-back good games for Jalen Green. We've seen him have 10 straight before, and it doesn't.
Him had a month of being at the way he was playing, one of the top 10 players in the NBA, and then, of course, we've seen the other months.
I was thinking that during the game. I was like, how many straight games does Jalen Green have to play well for me to, like, buy it?
A year.
Yeah. I was thinking, is he already out of time for, like, not out of time, like, to be on the Rockets, but out of time of where we go into next year, and the first time he goes 4-for-13, I'm just like, see?
Yeah. It has to be a full year of maybe not 33 points on 24 shots and 5-of-12, but something where you're like, okay, now he's playing at an above-average rate as a guard, and you can see a trajectory that says, okay, the consistency will continue, not the big fluctuations. And that's the problem for Jalen Green.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like he doesn't need to go for 33 every night. He just needs to, like, not go for 9 on 15 shots.
Can we pencil in this guy as a 23-point-per-game scorer, even if it's not great efficiency? Let's just say the guy is at 43-44% from the floor, and on nights when he has it going, he can go for 40. But even when he's not great, we're still looking at a 20-point type of guy, not what we've seen. So.
Or even like his bad games, it's like 16 points
on 12 14 shots. Whatever it is.
Where it's like not a good game, but it's like, okay, it's not
He's not actively hurting the team and their chances to win games. Until we see that, nothing he's going to do is going to make people at least – some people. There's some people who love the talent and believe at some point it's all going to click.
More 30-point games before turning 23 than Kobe Bryant.
We saw the stat. Yes, we talked about that stat. Until that changes, he is a guy who you just hope from night to night you're going to get the good version. And then you know the Rockets have a real shot to win games. Because if he's going to shoot the ball well, along with all the other attributes they have, they're really hard to beat. And even with the season that has been for him and Fred VanVleet, they're still hard to beat. Currently the 2 seed. In the West. Let's get to this sound before we go. We talk about Amin Thompson being put into the starting lineup because there's no Jabari Smith. Another guy who could have been in the equation for that is Tari Eason, who continues to miss games. Here's Ime Udoka yesterday, right before the Rockets-Lakers game, on Tari and when you can expect him back.
Is there any concern that this could be similar to what happened last year?
No, I don't think so. He's obviously been imaged and looked at, and that's not the case. Very different from last year, but the lingering is not a great thing, obviously, and hope to have him back before that. But the plan is the plan, and we'll go with that for the next few games.
You got imaging again recently? Because you said yesterday he was going to get looked at.
Weeks ago, and so obviously it's not the same as last year when they discovered it.
And you just say it's kind of flare-up?
From 3 weeks ago is when he first felt some soreness, and then he's still going through the games, and when it didn't go back to normal after a game, day off, that's when we decided to arrest him.
Is there a plan to get more imaging done?
Not as of now.
He remains day-to-day. We will see if he plays. That has been his status for a couple weeks now. Tari Eason. He went from playing 82 games in his rookie year to playing less than 30 last year. He's on pace to play more than that this year. It just now he's going to get the tag of injury prone, and in a different way, but just like Jalen Green. Jalen Green plays all the time, but we question his consistency. Until Tari Eason gets back to what he was as a rookie, where you can depend on him night to night, we're always going to be concerned about can he hold up. And you heard Ime Udoka. It's nagging. It's not something that should be long term. It just happens to be the case. And until he's fully ready to go, you're going to have these injury designations of day-to-day.
Yeah, I think we talked about with, like, Jabari, and I guess it's different because it's a actual bone break. So it's a much more specific injury. But just the process of being day-to-day every single day and a game-time decision and actually not going to play for – 3 weeks straight. That's just like what is going on? Like,
yeah, what
if they if they just came out 3 weeks ago and said he's going to be out for 3 weeks? I wouldn't be.
We wouldn't
about
like it, but we were like, okay. Yeah. There's a diagnosis. There's a timeline. We expect them back. We'll see you when we see you. Now it's like they don't really have an answer. They don't know what's going on. It's just that and he can't go every time they test.
And it's a fair question because it's like that's what happened last year where he was day to day for a while. It's a pain issue, and he even played like a couple games, then would be out for a few, and then stress reaction in his foot, out for the year, or in his leg, out for the year, and so. There is a little bit of this is the exact same pattern, and so Ime Udoka saying that the actual like MRIs or X-rays or whatever they look different than they did last year, but it's the same, you know, result of this guy's not playing, but he's day to day every day.
Got some real Tari Eason should be playing for the Astros vibes with these injuries. Like,
yeah,
we're optimistic until we're not about when he's going to play.
Tari, Kyle Tucker, Eason.
That's close. It's close. Well, King Tuck out the door. I don't know. I don't think Tari is going to have to deal with being traded. He may at one point said he was like reminded him of Kawhi Leonard. Well, Kawhi Leonard played quite a bit as a young player. We will see if Tari
as a young player.
Yes, I mean, it's different now. I had to put the caveat in. He was back.
Yeah, you know what? He's played one game in a row.
Yes,
what can I say?
And the Clippers. Beat up on the Hawks and the Clippers. If Kawhi plays, are pretty good. When if is always a big issue. We will talk more about what happened in the NFL. We've got more firings to get to. Some big names. Some guys are staying. Some guys leave. We'll get to that. We also will compare and contrast Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones was put to the fire about not playing Cooper Rush and why he didn't do that. He also appeared in Landman of all places. Things. It's a Paramount show headed by the same guy who did Yellowstone. Jerry, they gave Jerry a 2-minute monologue. Yes, the owner of the Cowboys got 2 minutes just to talk to John Hamm while John Hamm's character was lying in a bed recovering from a bypass surgery. Hey, Jerry, cook is what they did. And Jerry did cook. And we're going to compare and contrast which one we believe more. Jerry's an actor or Jerry pretending he didn't know why Cooper Rush didn't play. Cooper Rush, by the way, had an incentive of like $550,000 he would have gotten if he played. And somehow, some way, Trey Lance played instead. So we'll talk about that at some point later in the show. But first, I want to talk to you about MyBookie. MyBookie is the place you go to if you still want to place a bet on the MVP odds. I mean, it feels like it's an Allen joint. But if you think Lamar is going to win it, you can put some money down there or cash in on Josh Allen if you think he's going to win, whether it be the MVP race. Or who you think is going to win the Super Bowl. It's all there for you. And, of course, the game's coming up this weekend. The Texans, of course, starting off the playoffs as they generally always do. That's there for you, too. MyBookie provides you anything and everything you want when it comes to sports betting. And they also have a casino option as well. So you're not limited to just the NFL or the college football playoff games coming up or college basketball. It's all there for you, from hockey to tennis, from international soccer. Put your money down at MyBookie. Use that promo code BET975. And remember, they will 50% match up to $1,000. If you're putting in $400, you get an extra $200 to bet. MyBookie wants you to take your chance. Just go to the website, mybookie.ag. And remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Doug Peterson out with the Jags. The Colts retain Steichen and Ballard. The Titans weren't really in any flux regarding guys getting fired. Callahan just got there, so he will remain. As far as what happened in that game yesterday, beyond the Texans opening drive, the vibes drive, where they felt pretty good about themselves coming out of it, Damian Pierce had a long touchdown run, Derek Barnett, scoop and score, all those things. But from the Texans' point of view, looking at the Titans, was losing to the Titans bad for the Texans? They now have the number one overall pick, which means they could do a lot of things. They could draft a quarterback. They could try to trade it for a haul. I'll ask you this, Sean. Who's the player you'd least like to see? Let's say they keep it. Who's the player you'd least like to see as a Titan if you're looking at it from a Texans perspective? Like you can think the impact of a pass rusher, or you think Travis Hunter is going to be an impactful, maybe not a full two-way player, but a guy who can get snaps on both sides and make an impact. Maybe
probably one of the Colorado guys, either Sanders or Hunter.
So let's go quarterbacks, because the two guys who would likely get taken, if one is taken, would be Sanders or Ward. I don't know where it came from, but the report, I think from Benjamin, I guess now I do know where it came from, now that I think about it. Benjamin Albright said that the Titans like Ward. Not everyone does, but the Titans are one of the teams who like him. So
unnecessary to throw part of that in there.
Yeah, it's,
not everyone does.
Yeah,
honestly, I'm shocked. Just if you're typing.
Man, haven't you seen him play?
Didn't you see the Pop-Tart Bowl?
You mean where he was great and then left?
Sure. Yeah, quitter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I want him on the Titans. Quitter.
Exactly. They can trade for Tyreek Hill, too. Another quitter. Get all the quitters on that team. So, a lot of Miami quitters, apparently. So, Butler, too. Look at how it all plays out.
It's almost like being on in that location. You're like, you know what I'd rather do? Not this.
Not play. It's great to do other things in the city besides play football. So, if they picked Sanders or Hunter, you would have a bigger problem with that than if they decided to trade down or took Ward.
Yeah, just part of that is just because of the they're both good. I mean, Sanders Ward just kind of feels right now like a coin flip of who's better or personal preference. In that way. And I think just the default of like, gosh, it would be so annoying to lose to Shedeur Sanders. That's really what I mean. Is like, imagine how annoying it was to lose to Will Levis earlier this season. And now take out Will Levis and make it Shedeur Sanders. And it's just so much more annoying, to have that person and, all the, I guess the fan base of the Sanders.
Yeah,
in your division.
That's true.
You get some of that with Travis Hunter, and also Travis Hunter is insanely good. And I agree that I forgot if I talked about it with you or someone else last week, but the most realistic outcome for Travis Hunter, I feel like, is full-time corner and then part-time wide receiver. I feel like that's the most likely way, because there's no way he's going to be playing 100-something snaps in an NFL game. I just have a hard time believing that, especially at less than 200 pounds.
Yeah. Lance mentioned that this morning. He talked to people and said, while he's going to watch him on both sides of the ball to see where he thinks he fits best at, that NFL people, at least three teams I think he spoke to, said corner, probably a part-time receiver. Lance's hesitation is he doesn't like, as you mentioned, the way he doesn't like corners who are that thin.
He's like 180 something.
Yeah, and that's the listed weight. Who knows what he actually plays at when he doesn't have to fool people to think he's 185
pounds.
When
you can just tell Deion Sanders Jr., hey, put that as my weight on the team website.
Yeah, when he gets to the combine, we will see. And, of course, that's a place where you can manipulate things too. Put on a couple extra pounds.
Drink
and don't
a bunch of water like Bryce Young.
And don't run. And say, hey, I'll run at pro day, and then you'll back to your weight. Hey, you're not measuring me at pro day, but I will run. There's all the games you can play, so we will see there. So I think I would – I have my own biases because I watch a certain quarterback play. I don't really see it. I get the Shedeur thing, but I don't think he is great, if you want to call it improvising or playing out of structure. I think he holds the ball too long, which is a criticism of Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward's ability to operate when things aren't going great around him, although that wasn't a big deal at Miami. They had a pretty good offensive line. I think that would be my differentiating thing between the two, that I do like Cam as an improviser more than I do Shedeur. The only thing with Cam is there are a lot of plays where you're like, hey, could you please just check it down?
Yeah.
Could you please just do that? He didn't turn the ball over a lot at Miami, but the offensive line issues that he might face in Tennessee probably will mirror more of what he saw at Washington State, which is where he turned the ball over quite a bit.
And he has a little bit of Will Levisitis, where the the not in terms of numbers, but the interception he does throw in one every three games, you're like, who the hell is he even looking at that?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that,
and that was much more common at Wazoo than Miami.
But he won't be in such a favorable environment, most likely, with the Titans in that offensive line. So we will see. We will see what they do, but they do control the draft. No guarantee they even pick at that spot, but that's what happens when you're the worst team in football. You get to dictate, and we'll see if that Texans win, beyond the fact that you did it and you beat that team in the oily uniforms and how good that might have felt temporarily. What it might mean for the Titans' future and who you're going to have to be dealing with for if the Titans have their way for the next decade plus. And if it's a quarterback that's any good, that ain't great, because right now you look at this division, even though CJ had his issues, there's a clear difference in between the teams, and a lot of it has to do with the quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, whatever. He's going to have a new head coach for a third time in a matter of, what, since 2021. We've got Anthony Richardson, who didn't finish the year again because of health, and even when he plays, he got benched. And then you have the Titans with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. So you had a pretty good run. And maybe it continues because the quarterback draft isn't looked at as a strong one. But if they find the right guy, now all of a sudden you might have a problem.
Yeah. Go Abdul Carter first, Quinn Ewers on the second round. Who knows?
Okay.
That's what I don't want. I don't want to have to root against my guy.
Same for me, honestly.
You can root for
Cam in the other games.
Well, no, even just, in the Texans, you're just game? Also not a Texans fan.
Yeah, but I don't root for them to lose. And then if I'm rooting for Cam, then I'm rooting for them to lose.
Yeah, it's only two games, though.
True, but it's not like they have a stranglehold. I mean,
yeah, they kind of do have a stranglehold.
Not last year.
That is true.
And they only won, and they won 10 this year.
Part of that is because of the participation. Yeah,
it's true. Well, we'll see how good the teams are. Next year, maybe the Texans take a leap.
Eventually, one of these teams has to be.
At some point.
Or just get a good quarterback again.
This is what I'm saying. I think this entire division is one quarterback away from the Texans having a problem. And not a problem, I say. It's a closer division
of
than
having
it is
to
now.
Work for it. Yeah.
Yes, as opposed to what they do now. They can have a. Now, they can pretty much be a very average football team if we're giving them even that the back half of the year and never be challenged because of how bad the division is.
They can trick off every two games.
Yeah, it does not matter because the other teams have been tricking off the entire year. Eric, I see you got a question. It just says question. We will get to that. We'll also get to Jerry Jones. I got some clarification about the Cooper Rush thing. Jane Slater, by way of our listener, Dustin, Jane Slater let it be known that Cooper Rush wasn't going to be making a giant incentive by playing. It was unlikely to be reached because of how many snaps he had to play. And he had already reached a big incentive. But they did ask Jerry about playing Trey Lance. So we'll get to that. But mostly, I just want to play Jerry from Landman. Honestly. Still can't believe they gave that guy 2 minutes to cook in a show. I don't know if highly acclaimed is the right word, but it has big names in it. Billy Bob Thornton was in the hospital room with them. John Hamm. And they gave Jerry all the room in the world to just go. So we'll play some of that. Maybe not in this hour, but the second hour of the show. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back.
This is ESPN 97.5.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.